Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker, and I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written four books, the first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, then Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past or Free Your Future, and then third, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, and then Unlimited Possibilities, The Roadmap to Restoration. So much has happened. I know we've been off for a whole month for the summer, regrouping. We were on vacation, and thank you for so many of you reaching out to say, where is Hot Topics from the Soul? It made me feel good to know I was missed and know I was loved. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, good evening and welcome everyone. We've had a wonderful summer. We've missed you, and I'm so happy to be with you again tonight.
Yes, so much has went on in the during the summer, and I've been getting calls, and I've been speaking and traveling. We went to Houston, D.C., New York, been a lot of different places, and I'm excited and happy to be back. And I have a few announcements of things that I'll be doing this Saturday at 6:30 p.m. I'll be speaking at the Signature Grand, which is a very big hotel, a dining place here in the Fort Lauderdale area for Free Yourself Foundation. They are a foundation that serves domestic violence victims, and I'm the keynote speaker. So I will be speaking there Saturday at 6:30. If you want further information about that, please give me a call at 954-724-0900. And then also, Fight for Your Dreams is back. Yes, indeed. Fight for Your Dreams tour is back. It's your time. It's your season. And we're going to roll out October 19th at the Sheraton Suites Plantation in Fort Lauderdale. And we have some powerful speakers lined up for that event. I have Andy Henriquez, Nancy Matthews, Alan McDougall, Robert Lemon, Seymour Fields. They're all powerful, motivational, and inspirational speakers. They're authors, they're trainers, and they're going to show you and encourage you to activate that power that you already possess so that you can live your dreams. Shirley, what's been going on in your world?
Wow, traveling a lot. Baltimore, D.C., Houston. And, you know, I also had a loss in my life, a very, very big loss. I had one sister and a younger sister, and I lost her. The Lord took her home. But I'm at peace with it. He took her on my mother's birthday, and that within itself gave me peace. But other than that, I have been really traveling a lot and enjoying some time with Val as well in some of our travels. So I've been exploring different things in life, and God has been using me and elevating me to another level. And I can't wait to talk about some things.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I've discovered is that life will throw you some curves. You will get knocked down, but thank God you won't always get knocked out. The only time you're knocked out is when death takes you. But when we're here, while we're here on this earth, we are going to fight and give it our best shot. It's not always going to be easy, but we have the power to live our dreams. We have the power to move forward in life, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what happenstance, what went on in your families, in your friends, in your job, your career. You know, sometimes you have to shift. And in that shifting, it's a growing and it's a process. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to outlast the process. The process takes some time. Sometimes it's just like baking a cake. You know, you have to put the flour in and then just the right butter and the milk and the eggs. And if you miss an ingredient or you put too much or put too little, it determines the outcome of that cake. And that's how life is. We have to be fully prepared with all the ingredients so that we can be put into that oven. And when it's time for us to come forth, we shall come forth as a nice, fluffy, vanilla, chocolate, whatever your preference cake, and then the icing on the top is an extra treat for after we have gone through and come out and able to stand and be who we are, then the frosting comes, which is an extra sweetness, and that's one of the things I like about Father God. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. If we believe and if we're willing to go through the process of time. Would you agree, Shirley?
Oh, yes. It is definitely of time. And, you know, patience. Patience is a virtue in it. We have to be patient with it. We have to stay focused because with all the processing we have to go through, if we don't stay focused and keep our eye on the Lord and keep Him within us, we can lose ourselves in the process. So the process is a very important key factor in handling that curveball that life throws you. Val, you know, is talking about how the ball curves and you got to have the bat. Don't drop the bat because the ball is curving. You got to be able to hit it. You've got to. Because when you drop the bat, you lose yourself. You lose focus. And you give up. So don't give up. Stay in the game. And that is what we, you know, we talked about earlier today about how we fall down, we get up. And sometimes, though, we have bruises and skint knees and elbows and so forth. But still, through it all, we can still make it. And Val, you know, sometimes we talk about, oh, the burden that we carry. And you and I talk about that a lot, about what our needs are. And then Sunday I'm in Michigan, Val is in Florida. And we were talking about our sermons that we heard. And our ministers in two different states physically, but their mind is on the same track. And we both heard a message that coincides so much together, you would think they had a conversation before they came to church and gave the message to us. Because they talked about how what we already have and about the point of staying focused and thanking God for it, even though we can't see it, it's already done. We just have to place ourselves in the position to receive. Remember, you know, you telling me about how your pastor has prophesied to you, Belle?
Yes. For those that are listening that don't know what prophesy means, explain.
For those that are listening and don't know what it means, it's when He tells you basically what God has already got in store for you, and it aligns with where you need to be. And it tells you to stay focused. It's all about what God's plan is for you. He prophesies on your life. He sees what you don't see, that you're struggling with all the everyday matters of life, that you're blinded to what is actually really going on in your life. So if you have someone in your life that, especially a minister or an elder or a bishop, that can prophesy to you and that you trust them, you have to believe, though. You got to have faith, and you got to trust them. Then they can reveal to you things that God wants you to see. But God does use man to help us to see things. So don't get it twisted and thinking, well, man, you know, he's a man. He can't tell me. Yes, he can. God uses people, and especially people in those positions, and especially someone that's in your life that you are able to connect with on a spiritual level, and you would have an understanding that this is God's plans for you. And once you hear those words that He prophesies to you, you will have a sense of feeling of peace within you that you can't even explain to someone. But it's real, and you've got to believe.
That is true. Thank you so much for clearing that up. Shirley, for those that didn't understand or know the terminology in which you were speaking about, I was talking with Eloise Frazier last week, and, you know, so many people are going through modifications in mortgage and illnesses in their families. And my aunt last week, she had a fire that destroyed her home. And in church Sunday, the pastor was speaking, and he was saying, you know, we always want an abundance. We got a lot of furniture in a house we don't need. We got plenty of clothes we don't need. We buy a new car when the one we have is paid off, just to say we have a new car, and then we have the overages of the bills, and it's winding up stressing us out. But just for, you know, just thank God for what we do have, and that'll make our going and our life a whole lot easier, because to tell the truth, a lot of times our stress is because of things. I've said many times that, you know, things can be replaced, but we can't be replaced. And the damage and the impact that it has on us for us trying to be more than what we are, is it will cause us more tragedies in the end. So, Eloise Frazier, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Parker. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can. How are you doing this evening?
I am wonderful, and I'm so encouraged with the conversation I'm hearing. Yes, this show is really a testimony to our lives and the way God takes care of us. God has said that He will take care of all our needs according to His riches and glory. And we serve a God who owns the cattle and a thousand hills, and He owns the hills. So, God, I found recently a scripture that says, God rejoices in our prosperity. And we have to learn to believe the word more than we say. And we have to learn to claim the promises. And when you give your tithes, God said, prove me if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. God says, before you call, I will answer. He is our provider. He is our Jehovah Jireh. For the first 40 years of my life, I lived as though I was the provider. If I didn't work, it wouldn't be there. And I worked 364 days a year, most times 18 hours a day. Work, work, work.
Wow.
And then when I surrendered to God, when I discovered the prayer of Jabez, and I surrendered to God, I said, oh, it's all about obedience. I don't have to do it all. God said He will provide. And, you know, God provided me a beautiful home. And He really provided me this home. I woke up one morning and I said, my father is rich in houses and lands. And he has many mansions. I said, Lord, give me a mansion. And the whole thing unfolded. And that house that I have, it was for four generations. And the vision of that house was always that a time would come when people would need shelter and my door would always be open. You can always come and have shelter. You can always come and have something to eat. And God blesses us. Well, the market changed. My husband came down with Alzheimer's. My daughter, because of the market, she lost her job. She's been out of work for 3 years. So, and then she got divorced. So here she comes with three kids. God said He would provide all our needs, and we have never missed a meal. We have never missed anything. But here it is now, with everything that's going on, the property was devalued, which I looked at as a blessing because my taxes went down on the property. So that's a blessing. Yeah. I don't care. I'm not selling the property. So if the value is lower, that's fine with me. I got a break on the taxes. Then we got into a situation now where it's just two of us paying the mortgage. Well, we needed some help. Well, truth be told, my job situation changed, so I was just working in my estimation on a part-time basis, because what I was bringing in was one-third of what I generated before. So I'm starting a new business, I'm doing other things, I'm mentoring people, and I'm still giving. I'm still giving because I give. I'm a giver. So that's how God uses me. So I don't put anything on a credit card, but I have a debit card with my business, and I wanted to sow a seed. So I said, I'm going to sow a seed for $240. All I have is $24. But I called the TV station, and I said, could I pay for this in 10 months? Could I put $24 now, and I'm sowing this seed, and this is what I want. I want my mortgage modified. I want my interest rate dropped. It was bold, but I'm operating in faith. God gave me the property. God is the provider, and He's taking care of all my needs. I just have to work my faith. I saw that seed. Well, this situation was going on for months with the modification. Every time you come up to the table, they want you to bring all the documents again as if you didn't submit anything. They were testing your patience, really trying to push you to the edge where you would give up and say, well, forget this. So here it was, the last time the papers came up again, they wanted everything as though we didn't submit anything. I told my daughter, go ahead, you know, we can't quit before we get the blessing. Let's keep going. So she submitted the papers again. And that morning I sowed my seed. Within 7 days, we got a letter. They reduced our principal $195,000. They took the mortgage rate down to 3.33%. That was only God. That was only God.
Yeah.
I just had to ask.
Yeah.
And then I saw Mike Mordock on TV, and he was saying, there are 58 ways that God has to bless you. Sow a seed for $58. When you sow a seed, sow in expectation to be blessed. Sow in expectation. Always expect to be blessed. It's not if you're going to be blessed. Expect to be blessed. Live in expectation. I am here today. My life has been such a testimony to the goodness of God. And whenever I put my faith in Him, sometimes I get distracted with work and other things, and, you know, I'm not there as I should be. But once I get back and say, Lord, you know, I surrender to you. I'm going to let you work this out. I'm not going to worry about this. I am going to let you lead me. I'm on your direction. I am your child, and you have made promises that before you formed me in my mother's womb, you knew me. And you have a plan for me to bless me and to make me a blessing to others. So that's how I live, and that's how I operate. So when I got that news, you can only tell a few people.
Yes,
so I called Harry up. I said, I got a blessing today. Let me tell you what happened. And the people who are out there listening, it is possible. It is possible for you to get that mortgage help. Don't walk away from your home. You stand firm because the money is out there. It has been given. You just have to receive it. If it means that you have to sow a seed, find a promise in the Bible, sow that seed and say, Lord, I am expecting this. I am claiming this because you're not a man that you should lie. And you said that you would take care of all my needs according to your riches and glory. There are twists
all
and turns, yes.
Not some of
yes.
them, all. All of them.
Yes, that comes true. Yes. So I hand it back to you, Valerie.
Thank you so
praise
much
God.
For that. When you were telling me about that, I was so excited. I said, you know what? People need to hear this. They need to know that it is possible because so many are going through so many things and they're like just giving up in the midst of it. Like I talked about earlier in the show about taking that cake out too soon so it didn't come out fluffy. It came out lopsided and we don't want to go through the process. Sometimes the process is a long process. But if you stay focused, if you stay in alignment with the assignment God has for your life, everything is going to be all right. Now, Shirley, you never told the testimony about your mortgage.
Oh, yes. You're right.
This is time to let it go. You never shared the testimony about your mortgage. And I tell you, and you know, we keep saying and talking about how our home is debt-free and this and that, and you could just go ahead and share with the audience. Because this is going to bless a lot of people today that are going through, that are all stressed out about things that are going on in their lives, especially their homes. And I don't know that the Lord said to talk about things, you know, just talk to people and invite people into the conversation because, you know, I feel that it will lighten the load for a lot of people.
Yeah. With my home situation, there's so many things, facet to it. I did get a modification. I got a modification on my home, but it just didn't set right in my spirit. Al and I kept talking about, we need our house debt-free. And
my financial situation changed for me to I couldn't even afford the modification. And I wanted to see what other alternatives I had. I wanted to keep my house. I refused to give my home away because I said, God gave it to me. He did not give me this for me to lose it or someone to take it from me. He is not a man that breaks his promise. Because when I moved in this house, it was a home that he gave me. When I went through my divorce, I got my house. I did not have a job. I had to get the house in my name, financed in my name. That's what the judge gave me. He gave me 60 days to get it financed in my name. The Lord blessed me. A letter came and said I was more than a credit report and said I was pre-approved. I called the company. And they said, no, that's not from us. I said, I have a letter here. It says I am pre-approved, not pre-qualified, pre-approved, and that I'm more than a credit report. I called them on a Monday. I received that letter that Saturday, called them on that Monday. I went into their office that Monday, completed paperwork. I didn't have a job, but I wrote a note on a plain sheet of paper. I promise you I will make my house payment. That Friday, I closed on my home in my name. Now, that was back in 2001. And here it is 2012, and they're threatening to take my home, foreclosed on me. I went to an attorney. I said, what are my options? He took and he looked at my finances, and he said, your best option is bankruptcy. And I'm like, okay, but which one? And he told me chapter 13. I said, but I want my house. So he said, I need you to go to the county deed's office and get me the mortgage. Get a copy of the mortgage and everything from the deed's office. Get the deed and everything. I went in there and they said, you don't have a mortgage on your home. And I'm like, they're trying to foreclose. They said there was payments. I'm paying payments, and then they refinanced, and, you know, I got it modified and everything. The county is telling me I have no mortgage. I tell my attorney, he's like, there's no way. You have to have a mortgage on your home. You've been making payments. There's a mortgage company sending you bills. It must be a mistake. I went there three times, and the fourth time I went, I told the lady, give me every piece of paper that she has on my home. Papers came out, my deed is free and clear, there's no one name on it but mine. There was a mortgage, and that was the company back in 2001 that I had financed with them, but they had a paper in there saying, paid in full. I took all of this information to the attorney. And in 2004, there was another paper in there where I had taken out a line of credit through household finance. As it turned out, that lien was not on my home. It was on the 2 feet of property that I had purchased from my neighbor to expand my driveway. That information dropped off my credit report about a year ago. It was on there, then it was gone. He said, it can't just disappear. We called the finance company, gave them my Social Security number, gave them the loan number, and they said, no such loan. Bond. My attorney said, your house is free and clear. You don't have a mortgage on it. You have a note. But because I went 13 and my finances and everything, it ends up I only have to pay 18% of that note. God stepped in and said, I gave you this house. No one has rights to my home as of today. I'm not putting anyone else on it. It is solely in my name. There's no mortgage on it. There's no liens on it. There's nothing on it. I own my home, free and clear. I said, praise the Lord. Val got on me because I said, Val, I'm going to check some more. She said, what you looking for? Didn't you ask God for it? Didn't you say he was going to give it? Haven't we been talking about this? So why are you digging? Leave it alone. I said, well, my attorney wants me to look this, and he even hired a realtor. Nothing. There's no mortgage, no lien, nothing. My house is free and clear. All I could say was, thank you, Lord. So don't tell me what God cannot do. He will step in, and miracles do happen every single day.
Yes,
my attorney could do anything but hold up his hand.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it is.
This is that which was spoken, and, you know, I wanted to encourage individuals to hold on and don't fail, don't give up, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what it acts like. I tell you, at the end of the day, the Lord always comes through, God always comes through. I didn't know which way the show was going tonight, but this is what God wanted to do, and we're going to make manifest what he wants to do. Yeah, a lot of times we talk about corporate things, we talk about life issues, health issues, finances, but today we're talking about things from my heart to your souls, to speak life and to speak resurrection, to speak hope. And hopefully you'll be able to rest tonight with some peace because, you know, God is no respecter person. What he does for one, he can do for somebody else. Because,
yeah,
you know, our warfare is not in vain. The thing is we got to fight. We got to stand up. We got to believe and believe beyond what we see. Because that's what faith actually is, operating in a belief system that's far beyond what our eyes can see. Because he has so much for us that we can't even comprehend. So I told Shirley a couple of nights ago, I said, you know, Sunday night was the first good rest I'd gotten in months and weeks because so much has been coming at me. And so that's one of the reasons why I took a month all to regroup, reposition myself, because so many things were out of order. And see, when you're not in alignment with what God has for you, you try to deviate and do things outside of his will of what he has for your life, then things will become haywire. You will be stressed out and can't sleep. But one thing God wants us to do, he wants us to be in good health. He wants us to prosper, but he wants our soul to prosper even the more so. And that's where we are today, and this is what we have to do, and this is what we have to recognize in our lives and then make those things come. Because the word of God says in Psalm 89:34, he said, my covenant will I not break, but I will honor that which I have spoken out of my lips. So that means that whatever he has said for you, whatever he has for you, it is for you. No man can take it away. Just like the Lord God himself, he said, no man can take my life. I lay it down. So that's what we do a lot of times. We lay our dreams down. We lay our goals down. We lay our lives down involuntarily, trying to pay a price that no one asked us to pay. We become the sacrifice that nobody told us to sacrifice. So, you know, we have to reposition ourselves. If we want to go forward into this next season of our life, we're in the pitiful of a new election. So I encourage the listeners that are listening in, please vote, 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 vote. I don't care about, you know, you say, well, who are we going to vote for? I don't like anybody. I've heard people say that time and time again. I'm not voting for anybody because all of them lie. But you know what? When you don't vote, you are voting. And the worst of the evils will win. So we have to make sure our vote counts. Regardless of who you're voting for, vote. So many people have paid a price for us to be who we are, to give us the opportunity to be able to do so, to be able to choose. Don't allow your choice to be taken away. Shirley.
Amen.
Oh, yes. I was listening to you. That is so true. If you don't vote, you have voted. You have made a choice. You have chose to put your vote out there as a non-supporter and to allow whatever may come. And you've given away your rights. You've also given away the right that your ancestors have fought for you to have. And by making a choice, a lot of people don't realize when they say, I'm not voting, it's not so much as voting for the president, because this is a big election, or his opponent. What about all the other things that affects your everyday life? Every day, we, you know, in these different states, there are so many other things that are on the ballot that affects your daily living. So if you don't take the time to see what is going on around you, it's not just for you. It's the same thing our ancestors did for us. It is for our future generation, our children, our grandchildren, because the things that are done today and put into place today will affect not only you, but, like I said, for generations to come. Because even though you want to sit back and say, I don't like neither one of them, it's not about if you like them as a person. What is the stance? What is the betterment for your children? Because if our ancestors had not fought and given us to, and received the right for us to vote, then yes, we wouldn't have a say. Because if it was left up to a lot of people that are in power to be, we would not have a say. But because we had so many people to fight for us to have a say, because it wasn't just about them. They looked at the bigger picture and said, this is for our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. This is why they laid down their life or put their life in jeopardy, for us to have a right to have a say, for us to have a right to have equal whatever, pay, schools, whatever, but you got to fight for it. We've been fighting all our lives, all our lives. So why give up the fight now? You want to lay down and die? That is not God's intention for our lives. And being in this political arena, that things the way they're going on now, if you don't pay attention, and I'm just saying, please pay attention to what's going on. A lot of people will say, I don't like so-and-so, and I don't like this person. They don't even know them. They don't even know their policies. They don't even know their mindset as far as what they're saying that they want to do. They're not liking a person because of what they heard someone else said. And that is so horrible. You have got to educate yourself. We have, you know, I don't know one person that don't know how to spell their name. So you're educated enough to know how to spell your name. You should be educated enough to listen, to see what the policies are, what are they talking about. If you don't understand them, please take the time to ask someone that you trust and feel that they may understand or help explain to you, or even go even further. Go to that party's headquarters. You can make phone calls and ask your question. They never have to see your face. If it's Democratic that you're voting for, call the Democratic headquarters and ask your questions. If it's Republican that you voted for, call their headquarters and ask the questions. Then you're getting informed yourself, and you know that party's political stance, you know their policies, and you know if they have your best interests at heart. If you're a working class person, who's going to support you more? Who do you think is really going to support you? If you're not working and you're trying to get a job, who do you think is really going to support you? You're hearing the candidates talk now, and some, the latest thing that came out, Mr. Romney said 47% of the people are not working. So if they're not working, quote, they're not paying income tax, he's not going to worry about them. He can care less what their needs are or meeting their needs. So would you vote for that candidate? But that's why I say people need to listen up and be informed about what is going on in this country. We are in a situation, in a position in our lives to make a difference, to lean forward, to move forward, continue the movement going forward, or we can fall back 50, 100 years, maybe even all the way back to slavery. But this country can be in a whirl of mess if we don't get our mindset to the point that we need to vote. Whatever you do, vote. And understand that you're voting for more than just the President of the United States. You are also voting for other rights that affect you,
your children and children to come and grandchildren and generations to come. Val, I talk about this so much about how we are not educated, and if we're not educated, are we educating our children? Or there's some of us that got children in our family that are old enough that they are learning and understanding that they can maybe sit down with some of the older generation and explain to them, this is what's going on, Grandma, Grandpa, this is it. You know, we got to get that communication, build that gap.
Absolutely, and that's where the breakdown happens. We're listening to Hot Topics from the Soul, from my heart to your soul. If you have anyone has any further questions or comments, you can put your hand up and we can include you in to the conversation and give us some information, triumphs, or anything that you feel that can help someone along this journey, because that's what we do. We help our brothers and our sisters along as we go from one level to the next. But, yes, back to the voting and the processing, and which I'm very passionate about. We have to get out. I tell my children, I don't care what you're doing that day, you make sure you go to the poll and vote. And my son was down from Tampa the weekend. He said, oh, Mom, I'm coming home to vote. I'm not going to miss this. And I said, no, you shouldn't miss any of them, not even the primaries. You know, a lot of people don't vote in the primaries because, number one, they don't know who are the people are that are running. They don't know who's in the court system. They don't know who the commissioners are, which is, you know, pretty much across the board in every state. And me, for one, in my younger days, I could care less who was the mayor or the vice mayor or the commissioners, but as I've gotten older and I see the significance and why we need to be concerned about who's in office. You know, it's amazing how when you get older, the rules of engagement changes, Shirley. We start worrying about things that affect our senior citizens.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, they start talking about our seniors. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm a senior now. So we have got to be conscious, and we have to start early so that we can position our young people to put them in place, put them in the mindset now, not when they become seniors and are worried about their Social Security and how they're going to make it because of who's in office. We have to educate them now, and that's where we've all failed. We failed in that. Because, like I said, I had no interest in who was in running our local community. All I had concern about was voting for the president of the United States, because that's how I was raised, that whatever you do, you make sure you vote for the president. But those people that are up underneath, they can cause you more harm than the ones up ahead. And that's what people don't realize.
Right. And that, the fact is that, like you said, the ones underneath, Congress, that's why a lot of things have not been put into place that should be in place now, because Congress refuses to work with the current president. They, when he was elected, their immediate response was, we will not work with him. Their goal was to make him a one-term president. Not that they did not like his policies. That was never the issue. The main issue that they have is the color of his skin. I dare the United States elect a black man. People better wake up. It has not changed. They are so upset about the fact that he is a black man running this country that they are willing to put everyone's livelihood at risk or in jeopardy because they made a vow to bring him down. Congress is the one that we vote on the off year of president. The president is elected every 4 years. Then on the off years, like 2010, when the election came through and House was put into place, or in 2006, before he went in, that's when he was elected in 2008, they vowed, they were already in place, Republicans had a stronghold on the House and the Senate, that they would not work with him. See, and a lot of people said, well, he's not moving the economy forward. He's not working on this. He. One person does not run this country. Congress is a strong force that works with that one person. Yes, the bill comes on his desk, but first it has to go through Congress to get to him. But if they block it in Congress, he can't sign it in. But the weight and the blame is being laid upon the one person who signs it. No one is looking at the bigger picture. Well, okay, how can he sign something in, or how can he make this work or that work if it's not coming to him, or if he's putting it out there and say, okay, let's do this, and they're all saying no. And then he's at a stalemate. And then the economy is going bad. Less jobs. They're killing a lot of the bills and everything in Congress before it even gets to him. That's why a lot of people don't see a lot of things. So even though things is in a forward movement, but they don't see the momentum that they felt like they should. And that's why after the convention, especially the Democratic convention, that when President Clinton, former President Clinton, spoke and said, with the mess that this country was in 2008, when he was elected at the end of 2008, that even himself, who has been known as one of the best presidents as far as popularity, 59%, and the way he balanced the budget and everything, even himself or any of his predecessors could have pulled this country out of that downward spin that it was in faster than President Obama. None of them. No one can. He even gave the statistics, the numbers. I'm one, Val, you know I always say, do the math. I tell my children that, do the math. If one and one is two.
No, you didn't say do the math.
What did I say?
Bill Clinton said do the math.
No, before I heard him speak that, he said arithmetic. Before I heard him speak that speech, my sons, they looked at me and I said, what do I always tell you guys when they want to tell me, well, Mom, we're going to do this, this, and this. Okay, really, you know how much you get paid. You know how much that costs. Do the math. When it comes out, when you do the math, if it works out on paper, when you do the simple arithmetic, then you could possibly do that.
Mm-hmm.
But my main thing I tell them, do the math. And Bill came on stage and said, arithmetic.
But, you know, Shirley, with this election coming up, there is a Democrat and a Republican party. And I encourage those that are listening to review the tapes. You can go to CNN, I'm sure, and look at both sides so that you can make intelligent election points, you know, tapping in and go into the polls and make the right decision as to who you're going to select. So, you know, we're not going to tell you who to choose, but you go and follow up and do the math, as Shirley said. Study what each one has to offer, what everybody is saying, and then you cast your vote based on what you feel will work better for you and for your family and your children's children, because that's what it's all about right now. We have to stay focused on what is going to work for us, because it will be four years before you have the opportunity to cast your vote again, to pull that ballot again. So make sure you make intelligence choice in this matter, and do not say, I don't want to vote for anybody because neither one or nobody's going to do right by me. You are like a minority, but we have a whole nation at stake. So make your voice count. You know, together we stand, divided we fall. Regardless of what it is we're doing, if we don't do something, then everything will go haywire. I wanted to say something else, but that's what will be chaotic. So I have to stay on the fence as it relates to anything, because I want people to be able to make their decisions, to choose on their own, and that's what we have
others do, make our own choices as it relates to this. Any questions or comments for any of our audience? If you want to give any remarks or you have any stories of triumph, and like I said, I'm so happy to be back on the air with you. It took a month off to regroup, to reposition, and to hear what God wants us to do for the next season of Hot Topics from the Soul. And a couple of announcements. The Fight for Your Dream Tour is back. It will be October 19th at 7:30 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It is your time. It is your time to fight for your dreams. And we are going to keep that in line with the elections that's coming up. We have to fight for what we believe in. And what we believe in will be determined by how we come and go out to the polls. Shirley?
Yes. Oh, yes. And it's so important that, you know, whatever you do, make sure that you keep God first in your decisions. Because, you know, you will hear a lot and people will talk, but know that he will not lead you wrong. But whatever you do, keep him first, and you go out there and you vote. And when you vote, don't just vote for yourself. Realize that you're voting for your life and your children's life. And those of you who don't have children, know that you're voting for some other child. Somebody needs your help, and your vote counts. Don't ever think that it does not. It does count. So vote like your life depends on it.
Okay, and if you, those of you are listening and want to replay the show, all you have to do is go back to the main screen of Blog Talk Radio, Hot Topics from the Soul, and click onto that link, and you can tell a friend. I'm going to actually post a link on Facebook for those that want to replace the show, because we covered so much in this hour that we've been on. We've talked about mortgages. We've talked about relationships. We talked about holding on and fighting for your dreams. We talked about the election. There's so much that we've talked about in this hour that I'm sure will be an encouragement to a lot of people that are going through different and difficult times, different because it's something that they had not experienced before and didn't feel that they would ever wind up or be a part of a situation that they couldn't handle. And for that and because of that, a lot of people have given up on life. They've checked out on life and decided that they didn't want to be here. But it's up to you to pull up whatever type of faith you have and muster it together and hold on and know that change is going to come. Remember what I said, according to the word of God in Psalms 89:34, that he said, my covenant will I not break, but he will honor that which he has spoken out of it. So there is a promise, there is a purpose for your life. And it's up to you to determine what that purpose is. What is that that keeps you up all night, that you can't sleep, that has you toiling and turning? What is it that makes you uneasy and is always before your face? That is going to outdetermine your purpose. So stay focused, stay in tune, and listen, and listen, and listen, and above all, pray. If my people, yes, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, let go of the pride, and admit that you need a power higher than yours, because just admit it, what you're doing right now is not working for you. So you need to rely on a power that is far greater than yours. And when you do that, you will find that things will be easier. They won't go away, but the load will be a lot easier. Shirley, any closing remarks?
I just want to say that I am happy to be back on the air and that it's been a nice hiatus, but it's good to be back. And if you want to reach me, I'm on Facebook as well, and it's just Shirley Carter. It's the one with the red shirt on, because I got two pages. One I got locked out of and can't even seem to get in to get it, take it down at all. But you can reach me, and if you have any questions of me, you can reach me on Facebook. And I'm just happy to be back with Val on the show. And it's been a wonderful, summer, and it's wonderful to be back. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. It's always a pleasure to have you as my co-host. And thank you so much, Eloise Frazier, and so many of you that have joined me throughout the years. This is, what, our third, fourth year of Hot Topics from the Soul, and it's always great to have you, my special guest. I'm here because you're here. Thank you so much for being with us. And please visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and you can find out how to purchase for my books, and also keep up with things that I'm doing in the area. And also my corporate website, Arise by VNP. That is my corporate website where I do events, and also I represent speakers. And as I said, I have an event coming up in October 19th, Fight for Your Dreams, It Is Your Time. And then we're moving to Atlanta in November. So please keep an eye out and look for that. And as I said, that's arisebyvnp.com and fromthesoulofawoman.com. And also you can call me at 954-724-0900 and email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to respond to you. And also I'm on Facebook, Soul of a Woman, From the Soul of a Woman is on Facebook, as well as Valerie Parker. And I spell my name V-A-L-O-R-I-E. Shirley, I get people saying, I was looking for you on Facebook, but I couldn't find you. Well, I spell my name with an O, Valerie Parker. So, and I thank you so much for those that have found me by reaching out on Facebook. Thank you so much. So you all have a powerful week, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you next Tuesday, same time. And I say seeing you because I see you on Facebook. Have a great evening. Good night. And remember that our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're more powerful beyond measure. Good night.
Good night.